Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
Today I want to talk about the power of fasting and regulating your life according to God's word so that you can maximize your year. How many of y'all feel like that God has something bigger for you this year? Raise your hand if that's you. How many of y'all know that God's definitely going to do his part, okay? But how many of y'all kind of worried about yourself? So it's very, very important that we get our flesh under control, because if you're like me, my spirit's willing, but my flesh is weak. So I have willpower to a degree until Girl Scout cookies come in, and then I like the whole tube. And then if I've overestimated the amount of milk and now I have too much milk, I need to start on tube two. Can I get an amen up in here? And then when I find myself halfway through tube two, I feel bad, and I know if Nicole sees me, she's going to freak out. So I finish it, go outside, hide it in the trash can. Who am I talking to right now? Because your flesh is out of control. Let's just thank God for Girl Scout Thin Mint cookies, God. We love you, God. However you did that, it was just a miracle. But our flesh is out of control oftentimes. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things we don't want to do because our spirit's right, our heart's right, but our flesh is weak. So my dad said this, and I want you to write this down. When I was younger, he said, when your spirit is at its strongest, your flesh is at its weakest. And vice versa. So when your flesh is at its strongest, your spirit's at its weakest. So that's why St. Paul said, the thing that I don't want to do, I do, and the thing that I don't want to do, that I do, and the thing that I want to do, I don't do. What is he talking about? He's talking about the difference between the real him and his flesh. Because your flesh never got saved. Your flesh and my flesh, it'll eat Girl Scout cookies, it'll slap people, it'll be judgmental, it'll lie. Come on, who have you seen people behave this way? I know it's not you, but you've heard of friends, okay? So it's out of control. And then the enemy and the inner me will say, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good, David, you're no good. And then you feel bad, so you go further away from God. When the Bible says to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Let's all shout that. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So one of the ways that I know if I'm right with the Lord is when I see an ambulance go. Typically, if I hear an ambulance, immediately I'm like, oh man, I don't have time to pull over. I'm just going to speed up. Who am I talking to out here? Okay, not these people. Okay. And so now I've also done it to where they were going and I let them go past, but I thought, I'm going to turn on my flashers, pretend I know them. It's going to be an escort for me. Come on. Who am I? I know it's horrible. You don't want to hear that from a preacher, but I'm an honest preacher and the other preachers have been lying to you. I'm working on me. Okay. But I know I'm right when now I'm fasting and praying and I can hear an ambulance way away and I start praying. God, I don't know what they're going through, but God, please help them right now. God, if they've been in an accident, reduce this pain, help the doctors, Lord. If this is somebody who's had a heart attack, God, have them get the right medicine to them, a stroke. And I start praying because my heart is toward Jesus. My heart is toward helping people. If not, I tend to be mean, cranky. Come on, it's my last name. Why do I feel like I'm confessing to you people today? Why do I feel like I'm the only heathen in here? Raise your hand if at least somebody next to you needs this sermon, okay? So our spirit's willing, we want to do right, but our flesh is out of control, all right? So fasting helps us control our flesh to make sure we're doing right. Fasting increases the anointing. Anybody ever heard that word, anointing? And I say that because there's different kinds of people in the church. You got First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist. You got Pentecostals. You got Lutherans. You've got Catholics. It is a diverse, not a melting pot. It is a stew, this church is. But sometimes I don't know who I'm talking to, so I try to preach on a deep level and then on this level. In fact, this is the one way that I could test it. Okay, anybody know this song? Father Abraham had many sons. Okay, so now I kind of know. You put your right foot in, you put your left foot up, you put your right foot in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around.
That's what it's all about.
Now I know what I'm dealing with right now. So I got some Father Abraham people and a whole lot of hokey pokey, right? So when I grew up, we went to skating, but my dad wouldn't let me go unless it was Christian night. So I had to go to Concord on a Thursday night, and you're couple skating, trying to get your groove on with Amy Grant. Oh, friends are friends forever, for the Lord's the Lord of them, and friends will not say never. And you were like, I'll make love to you like you want me to, then I'll hold you tight, baby. Okay, now I know. It's very important to know. Okay, so now that we got that out of the way, I got some people looking at me, this is church, Mildred? What? This is church, all right, but it's relevant church that is real, organic, and we're not one thing out there and a different thing in here. So Isaiah 10:27, it says, and it shall come to pass. Everybody shout, it shall come to pass. This is good if your mother-in-law called to spend the winter. It shall come to pass. In that day that the burden will be taken away off of your shoulder, that thing that's oppressing you, that addiction, that alcoholism, that pornography, and his yoke, the devil's yoke, from off your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Now, when you receive Jesus, Jesus physically didn't come in your heart. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. But you received Jesus, of course, but the Holy Spirit is the comforter, the counselor, the advocate, the Bible says, the standby, the strengthener. He's on the inside of you. So Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a mansion for you. But he said, I'm going to leave with you the anointing. So now the anointing's on the inside of you, and when you receive Jesus, you prayed a while ago with Pastor Drew, which, by the way, looks so good. He looks like a worship leader in those skinny jeans, doesn't he? Come on now. You know what I'm saying? So when you prayed that prayer, you received Jesus, and now you're going to heaven, but your flesh never got saved, but now the Holy Spirit's in there, and the more you fast and pray, and you keep your flesh under control, the louder the voice of the Holy Spirit is. So how many of y'all heard of, hey, Google? Hey, Google. Or Alexa. Hey, Alexa. Ashton says, hey, Alexa, turn on the TV. Hey, Alexa. The music's too loud. Hey, Alexa, turn on the TV. It comes on. And I was laughing at it the other day. I said, you know, you're yelling at this thing. And I never had that as a child. We didn't have Alexa. My dad said, hey, David, turn on the TV. Come on, somebody. Hey, David, give me some water. There was no voice command. He didn't worry about the Wi-Fi being down. The Joker was like, hey, there's four channels on, and there's, I'll explain it to the younger people. There was these rabbit ears that came out. There were these silver, chromey things, and they came out, and you didn't have cable, but they put aluminum foil on it, and if your dad or mom was watching Kojak, and it wasn't coming in clear, you had to stand there and hold it with one leg out, if necessary, so that they could see what, come on, somebody help me. And so you're like, oh man, I hope it is. And then they'd say, hey, Alexa, turn the channel. I was Alexa. So your flesh oftentimes doesn't communicate, and God is speaking, saying, hey, David, shut up. You're talking too much. Hey, David, I need you to fast and pray. Hey, David, be nice. Hey, David, you're praying the wrong prayer. Because my prayers in the flesh can look like, God, please straighten Nicole out, God. I don't know why she doesn't see it my way, God. God, you know she's out of control. She's just mad right now. And it takes her an hour to make minute rice, God. She doesn't even know how to do a hot pocket. God, please, God, straighten her out. And then finally I'll hear, hey, David, shut up. You can't change her, and I can't change her. Only you, by the power of the anointing, can change you. And if you change, maybe she'll change. And I go, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Satan, I rebuke that. But how many of y'all know that sounds right? Come on, raise your hand right now. So when you fast and pray, God gives you direction. And the yoke that you did not have willpower to overcome, it now is taken care of through you being obedient to the Lord and making your flesh be good. Because our flesh is just bad. My heart's right, but my head is wrong. Sometimes I'm in the middle of the argument, and I know I'm wrong. And instead of saying, you know what, I just had an epiphany moment. You're right. That would make Nicole love me more. That would make people love me more. But oh no, I continue down the path of foolish behavior. When I know I'm wrong, I'll just be like, screw it. You just don't get it. Who am I talking to? Raise your hand if it's you. It's like an AA meeting. I'm pulling. You can't get over it until you admit it, okay? Maybe it's not you. But it's our flesh. When I'm fasting and praying and my heart's right, I can be in the middle of something and just be honest, and it makes people respect you more. I was totally right. You're wrong. No excuses. No, but I didn't understand. No, because but zeros it out. Just forget it. I was wrong. That's how I brought myself a lying. In the middle of a lie, I would say, I was just lying to you. I was just lying. I might be 2 minutes into this story and realize, you know what? The Holy Spirit's like, you're lying. Your anointing's not going to increase. I can't do what you're asking me to do. So I'll be like, you know what? The last 2 minutes, everything I've told you is just pretty much a lie. I was just lying. Come on, this is too far out for some of you. But what it does, it didn't make people disrespect me. It made them know, I bet he's telling the truth. And sometimes they'll wait 2 minutes in to see, were you lying or are you not lying? Am I the only one in here that admits to lying? Raise your hand if you've ever lied. Now I know who's a liar. I'm figuring this out today. But fasting makes your flesh behave. Matthew 6, verse 17, survey says, but when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast. Not if you fast, God's expecting this out of us. Matthew 6 is a very holy passage. It's where God also talks about the Lord's Prayer. He says, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face. That'd be a word for some of y'all's kids, right? But so you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father, which who is in secret, he will reward you openly. So when you fast, not if, when you fast, it activates the supernatural in your life, and it begins to pull in things that you never dreamed possible, and it keeps you, your flesh under control so you don't self-sabotage, so you stop that negative behavior. Because God spoke to me when I first started, I was over in Fenton, and he said, I'm tired of raising them up and it messing them up. I'm tired of raising them up and it messing them up. He said, I need you to obey me. I was going to the bathroom in the middle of the night. And when I was walking to the bathroom in the middle of the night, you know how your brain gets to going, so you try to stay in that attitude of sleep. And I was kind of fumbling around. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, don't live your life like this. Don't live your life bumping around in the dark. He said, I want your light to spring forth speedily. And when you fast, it does that. Isaiah 58, verse 6. Let's see verse 8 first. 58, 8. Then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily. Isaiah 58, the whole thing is about fasting. And it says, when you fast, your light will break forth like the morning, and your health will spring forth speedily. Even in the natural, fasting is an incredible thing for you to do. Now, of course, check with your doctor. Some people at certain levels, I'm not saying you fast 20 days, no food. But I am saying that you must afflict your soul at some point and say, hey, these are the things I'm fasting. I'm fasting many things, but one of the things I'm fasting that I love more than anything, this is the reason why I go to bed sometimes, so I can wake up and have coffee. I don't just love coffee, I adore coffee. I can drink 5-6 cups a day, no problem. I live on coffee. In fact, when I get sleepy, I know I'm not really sleepy, I'm low on coffee, okay? So I love coffee. So for the whole month of January, I give it to God, and then my flesh, after a few days, it even stops negotiating because it knows you're just not going to get that. It's not an option. It's not on the table. So you afflict your soul. That draws. It doesn't make God get closer to me. It makes me get closer to God. When you draw near to God, he draws near to you. In fact, most of the time, the breakthrough that you want, the happy marriage that you need, the child coming off drugs, that breakthrough, that next level, most of the time, it's because we have not fasted. Because when we fast, it breaks that yoke. It breaks that cycle. It breaks that old way of thinking. And now we know, even in the natural, that in 21 days, you can create a new habit. And now those old habits are going away. You've put them away. The Bible said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But now that I become a man, I put it away. It doesn't mean that I can't get back in the flesh. I know where it is, like my iPad. Now, here it is. Now I'm going to put it away. I know where it's at. I can grab my flesh at any time and go, I want to do that again. Because your flesh will continue to do what that self-destructive behavior that you hate. It'll continue to do that until you get in control and realize you are the boss. You, the real you. The one that's going to go to heaven. When you die, and someday you will, your flesh, your body will go back to the ground. Your spirit will go to be with your family members in heaven. But your flesh, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, out of the ground you were made. God made us, our body, out of the ground. But us, it said that he breathed his pneuma into us. We get our word pneumonia for it. The breath of God, that's why I know you weren't an accident. You're like, I'm an accident. I was the, you know, the result of a rape. No, God doesn't make junk. You were on purpose, divinely appointed by God, and God has a, come on, somebody ought to help me, a unique calling for you. But you have to be in control of you. And sometimes you're just out of control. And your light doesn't come. Verse 8 again, 58a. Your light break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily. Now, I want you to write this down if you're a note taker. Direction and correction. Direction and correction. Everybody shout that with me, class. Direction and correction. So I'm a pilot, right? So you say I was leaving today. I'm going to preach here Tuesday night, and then Tuesday night after I preach, I go to Dallas. So you leave out of Sierra Uniform, Sierra, which is Spirit, and they might say Saratoga 6510 Delta climb to 10,000 and the fly heading of, let's just say, 270. And then they might say, hey, we need to make a correction in that because there's traffic. I need you to turn 10 degrees to the right and climb to 20,000. There's a bunch of guys in the FAA, and they're sitting there and they're watching what is happening. Where are all the planes at? Who's going where? Yeah, there's a lot of traffic up there. I've almost bumped into people more than one time. I was flying one time. It was one of my first flights solo 20 years ago, and some skydiver was just clowning around, and he just flew down. It was a little bitty slow plane. It was so slow, I'd tell the geese, go around, go around. And a skydiver just appeared beside me. I was like, ah! There's just people flying, jumping out of planes. There's a lot of crap happening up there, okay? But there's people on the ground looking, saying, move here, adjust here. That's the Holy Spirit. He is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. The Bible says that we have an unction from the Holy One and we know all things. Have you ever been in a situation where you knew that person was going to do that? You just knew it. You don't know how you knew it, but you just knew it. Come on, raise your hand. Have you ever been in a situation where you knew, hey, you know what, just delay that for a minute because I think that car is going to get in my lane. Anybody ever had that? If you don't raise your hand, I'm assuming that's the bad driver next to you that didn't raise their hand. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit saving you from a car crash, saving you from a crash in life. He'll tell you, yeah, you might look like you want that guy. You might get what you want, but you won't want what you get. He doesn't have true salvation. He might have galvation, and he learned Christianese, and he's acting saved, but he's really not saved. You want a life full of purpose, full of light, full of communication with God, so your life goes better with direction and correction. Come on, somebody, give God praise. Direction and correction. Shout it again. Direction and correction. No chant, I guess. You don't want to chant. That's okay. Matthew 17, verse 17. So the disciples, Jesus' disciples, they got this person full of demons and they can't fix it. Then Jesus answered and said to them, O faithless, perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of the child and the child was cured. Then his disciples came to Jesus privately afterwards and they said to him privately, they asked this question. They said, why could not we cast them out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. I say to you, if he has faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you would say to the mountain, be removed from here, and it'll be moved. Nothing is impossible for you. Then that small print, the small print of the medication. Anybody ever watch the news? And the news time, it's always medication for old people. Come on, somebody. Do you have trouble sleeping at night? Yeah. Do you toss and turn and your mind is out of control? Yeah, you need Lunesta. And a little butterfly comes. You're like, oh man, maybe I need Lunesta. And then they come up and say, hey, it might cause irritable bowel syndrome and you mess up in bed, prostate cancer, come on somebody, and you could die in your sleep. And you're like, that's just real quick, but those are the side effects of Lunesta. So Jesus says all this and here's the side effects. He says real quick, however, this kind comes out not but except by prayer and fasting. This kind comes out not but by prayer and fasting. Why could we not cast them out? This, that, and the other. And this kind comes out not by my prayer and fasting. Huh? Really? Yeah. Everything great that God has ever done in my life came out of prayer and fasting. I was preaching at the church my dad started in Fenton, 1416 Larkin Williams Road, a two-lane little road on a street that we had way outgrown. Went on television. Thousands of people are coming to the church. By the way, I'm not sure it's true, but NBC National News reported that Faith Church is the 11th most influential and biggest church in America this week. I was surprised at that. I was like, what? I didn't even know this happened. And then I was really surprised because, what was it, Newsweek reported that there are no mega pastors in America, no female mega pastors of the top 100 churches, except in one in St. Louis and West Palm Beach. And Newsweek named Nicole Crank as the only forerunner in America for women preach. Come on, somebody. If you want it done right, get a woman to do it. That's what I've always said. That's why I have her preach. So every other week, I know you get a good sermon, okay? So now, I'm over in Fenton, and I know God's wanting to do something better. I go to one service, two services, three services. I'm doing eight services live, okay? We got to turn that parking lot. I can only preach for 28 minutes. They got to get in, get out. It's a mess. The neighbors are hating us. The city's trying to sue us. It is horrible. They don't want us there anymore. They're doing all kinds of even racial stuff that's happening because we were a diverse church, always will be a diverse church. And some of our pastors were people of color, and they were in, out there yelling. Some of these unskilled people were yelling the N-word at Pastor Omar, which caused me to almost go to jail. I could have been writing letters from prison like Paul saying, today I write to you from St. Louis County. Okay. And so this is going on, and a lot of times the cues to our next level are found in the harassment of other people. In other words, you're in an area right now, and it's cueing you to come up a little higher. You're like, they don't like me. Yeah, because you're stuck there, and you outgrew them. You outgrew this position, so you've got to go up the stair. So one foot in, one foot out. Some people will say, I'm on a stair right now. Not really. I'm partially in, partially out. These stairs are designed to get me safely from one to the other. But a lot of people don't go through growth track. They don't connect with God. You should do that today. Connect with people, discover their purpose, make a difference, so they never get there. People go, hey, at the first of the year, I don't need a stair. I need a step. Can I get up there? How many of y'all know this is a tougher situation? Come on, if you don't agree, I say, come up here and try it. It's a whole lot easier. Less probably damage could be done if you take the steps. But instead, everybody wants to just one jump, be done with it. And I'm telling you, God's not a one-step thing. He is a guy that wants in your life every day, step by step. Come on, somebody. He said the steps of a good man, somebody ought to help me right now, are ordered by the Lord. He said we go from glory to glory, faith to faith, victory to victory. He said the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It grows brighter and brighter. We just read in Isaiah 58, he said that your health and your light was springing forth speedily. So I'm there getting abuse from this city of Fenton, which now a lot of government has changed. In fact, I heard the mayor even comes here. So please, this is years ago. I'm sure it's a great new government now. Let's give it up for all the nice people of Fenton. But there were a couple people that were problems. Well, I cleaned that up, didn't I? Come on, somebody. So now, and oftentimes, it's not that there are bad people. There are some people that it is not even that they don't like you. They don't like them. So since they don't like them, they got to attack you. And if you're doing something bright that's helping the community, that's feeding people, that's changing people's lives, there'll always be a new level. And when there's a new level, there's going to be a new devil. And the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6 and 10, but against principalities, against powers, and the rulers of darkness, and spiritual weakness in high places. That's why he said, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, have on the helmet of salvation, have the sword of the Spirit, and the breastplate of righteousness. I'm talking right now about how to arm yourself in the morning in the first 20 minutes. You say, today, I'm going out in the world, so I'm putting on my helmet. I'm going out in the world, so instead of saying what the world would say, I'm going to renew my mind, and I'm going to say what the Word is going to say, and I walk by faith and not by sight, and I'm going to fast, and I'm going to pray until God begins to move on my situation and takes me from where I am to where I'm supposed to be, because I don't belong here anymore. Somebody ought to help me right now. And there's nothing worse than being in a relationship or a job or a situation to where you feel like you're being tolerated instead of celebrated because you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And God created you in His image and His likeness, and He has a divine purpose for you. I'm talking to you by television right now, and that's why God's calling you out of that bed right now, calling you off of that couch. You might be watching in the middle of the night and you're smoking weed, which is, that's fine with me. It's funnier when you hear me preach when you're smoking weed. But at some point you're going to get the munchies. Come on, somebody. And you're going to need to get out to a church that's not going to point the finger at you this way. Somebody help me. But we're going to point the finger at you this way to say, God's not mad at you, but He's mad about you. This is a new year, new you. Come on, somebody ought to give praise to God. So now when I'm in Fenton, I need light. I don't know what to do. I've never read a book on multi-site. Never thought we would have this problem of the ministry growing from 200 to 2,000 in 2 years. Now we're like at 3,000, 4,000 people. Then God starts speaking to me and He said, someday, I'm praying and fasting, Watch light come. Someday you'll pastor a church in the St. Charles area. Pastor Omar, that African-American dude, technically Panamanian, he came and picked me up. I told him, I said, the Lord just spoke this to me. He said, that's exciting. He said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. Then we started looking at buildings and the how you know the Holiday Inn and all the meeting halls over there. And then we went to the heart of St. Charles Banquet Center. And as soon as I walked into that, I knew that was the place. I just knew it. Anybody ever had that where you just knew that you knew that you knew? I knew it. I told Nicole, I said, this is it. She said, be quiet. We haven't negotiated the deal yet. Be quiet. I said, this is it. And we started that church. The night before we went up there, I'm going to preach the next day, doing the multi-site thing. Never done it. And I could hear the devil saying, nobody's going to show up. You're going to be embarrassed. You're going to be humiliated. This is a bad move. And the people at your church are going to get mad because they don't understand what you're doing. And I could hear in here because I've been fasting and praying. That's your flesh. And if nobody shows up, who cares? Because dead people don't care. And you're not alive anymore. You're obeying me. And I'd be like, that's right, that's right. And then the devil would start talking loud. And then my mind would go. And I was restless. I got up the next morning. I went to Fenton, preached the first service. Then I came back. You know, to go over there to the heart of St. Charles, I'm going across the Blanchard Bridge, and I look, and I think, oh my gosh, look at that. And not only is it packed on the inside, there's people waiting on the outside. 600 people showed up the first day, and the Earth City campus was born. Somebody ought to shout amen because of prayer and fasting. Light came. And then as soon as I pulled in, the devil started saying, what are you going to do now? I'm like, well, you make up your mind. Either nobody's coming or everybody's coming. What are you going to do now? We're going to obey God. And the Lord's going to lead us. The Lord's going to guide us. And 2018 is going to be a massive productive year for you. But you can't just put it all on God. You have to say, I'm going to spend the first 20 days. I'm going to spend the first 20 minutes and the first 20 days. These next 20 days, starting today or tomorrow, whenever you want. I'm going to spend the first 20 minutes seeking God. And I'm going to afflict my soul so that my flesh becomes compliant. Because sometimes you just have to get control of your flesh. Because if your flesh is like mine, it gets out of control. Now, I want to talk to you right now just for a couple minutes as we bring closure to this. Number one, I'm just ask for a show of hands. How many of y'all in here, you do know that God has a big plan for you? Again, we did at the beginning, but raise your hand. Okay. How many of y'all sometimes, though, you've not done the New Year's resolutions or you haven't taken charge of your life as much as you did earlier because you've been disappointed in the past, so you just kind of stayed neutral on it? Let's raise your hand. It's hard to be honest, but it does happen. So you got been there, done that. I'm telling you, this is a new year. This is a new season. This is a season where not only you have a great church family around you, you actually now have the ability to go through growth track. We didn't have that years ago. Now today, right after these services, you can go up in the back, and it's a four-week process. It doesn't matter which week you go. Nicole and I designed it that way, and we go up there with our pastoral team, and we connect with God, connect with people, discover your purpose, and make a difference. Then, after you learn who you are, you learn your personality, then you're also connecting with other people because you're only as sick as your secrets. You need some people that you can fight in, people that love you, people that you can trust them, and that doesn't happen overnight, and they can trust you. And they can look at you and know that your spiritual health has declined. You have somebody to sit next to at church. It's designed to help a big church become small. So life happens in community. But if you're this long ranger, you're doing it alone. Whitney, she died in a bathtub alone. Her child died in a bathtub alone. Prince died alone. Michael died alone. You name all these great people who had great talents. So apparently being pretty is not the answer. Having talent isn't the answer. The answer is having purpose. And that purpose comes from God Almighty, who put on the inside of you a dream. But now you've had the setback, you had the divorce, you had the financial layoff. You're thinking, man, it's never going to happen. I'm telling you, it hasn't happened yet because you would have self-sabotaged. But it can happen later based on you having the right people around you and being committed to God and being committed to church. When you say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to do what's right because it's right, even if we don't feel right. We're going to serve God, we're going to honor God, and we're going to be the fiber of America that says, bring church back to people that are hurting. That's exactly why we're starting the church in the Ferguson-Florissant area. It's not that I need another church. It's because there's such racial division and divide here, and the Church of Jesus Christ has it. This isn't a melting pot. This is a stew. This church is, and it should be full of red and yellow, black and white. And no one should ever be judged by the color of their skin. I don't care how white you are. I'm just telling you right now that you could tan and make a difference. Somebody got to help me right now. We do not judge people on their skin. We judge them on the content and the character of their heart. And for that matter, we don't even judge them then, because most of the time, people are reacting to the way they were treated. And if you would love them, love brings out the best in everybody. And this is a love-filled church. Come on, somebody. We started the Love Right, which went nationally. Somebody ought to praise God for it today, because here, racism's not allowed. Socialism, communism, terrorism, not allowed. We love everybody. So I'm going to ask you today, by a showing of hands, those of you who say, I really, really, my heart is stirred, and I think this might be my answer. Raise your hand if that's you today. How many of you would raise your hand and say, I'm going to participate in this at some degree or another on the 2020 program? Raise your hand if you'll do that with me. Now I want you to pray this prayer with me. Loud and strong, shout at church, shout, I believe God is going to give me clarity like never before. I have 2020 vision in these banner years. I will obey the Lord. I will fulfill my purpose. And I will do what God called me to do. I will not stray. I will obey and do whatever He will say in this banner year. And I decree and declare, I'm blessed, I'm favored, I'm anointed, I'm qualified, I'm happy, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Give it up for the Lord. I'll see you Tuesday night.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.